series on loving like Jesus. In the first week, we watched that awesome video with Craig challenging us to love like Jesus by forgiving others like he would. And then last week, I believe John preached about loving like Jesus by washing each other's feet. And I believe you washed each other's feet. No, they were here, John. It's good. They were here. But John gave you practical examples of what that would look like in a modern day, right? Okay. So, that's as far as I can remember, John, am I right? That's what you preached on.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Now, tonight, it's all about loving like Jesus by breaking bread with one another. But before we unpack this and what it really means for us today, we need to look at the foundation of this loving like Jesus. Because I believe that if our foundation isn't built on the right stuff, we wouldn't be able to love Jesus for a very long time. I actually think we wouldn't be able to love Jesus, or love like Jesus, for a very short time. So let's look at the foundation of what we do and why we do things. As we unpack this text tonight, now you've probably on the app already, you see that we're going to go through Acts chapter 2. As we unpack this text, I need to say that for years and years and years, I got stuck on Acts 2 verse 41. And for those who know me really well will know why. I'm a numbers guy. Love accounting, I love numbers. And Acts chapter 2 verse 41 is all about the numbers. God adds to the church how many people in one day? 3,000. So for years, I did all I possibly could to reach that amount of people or experience that kind of growth in church. I still believe that to this day. But thanks to the help of some really good people in my life, I've been able to read past verse 41 and start living past verse 41 as well. Yes, I will always be very passionate about adding 3,000 people to the church. And obviously God does all the work. He just uses a little pawn, Yan, to try and make it happen. I'll always be passionate about that. Don't get me wrong. But over the last while, I've started looking at the foundation of it all. Let's look at the foundation of it all. As we read our main text together tonight, it is our hope that we would become this kind of church the text describes. Because if we do, I believe it's a really good chance that we could see something amazing like verse 41 happening. I really hope so. You might not like 3,000 people at church. I would. Okay, so let's read it together. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 and onwards. Notice we're not going to read verse 41, but Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs they performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. We thank God for his word to us tonight. Friends, the first thing we pick up from that text tonight is they devoted themselves. Now this implies that they were meeting regularly, with incredible persistence. Come rain, wind, and in Durban, sunshine. They wanted to meet together and learn all they can about their newfound Savior. And they actively participated in these activities. And we're going to unpack them together tonight. One, the apostles' teaching. Two, fellowship. Three, the breaking of bread. And four, prayer. These four basic principles form the practical map, kind of the model, not just for the early church in Acts 2, but we believe for every single church of any age. Do you believe it though? Do you believe that that model still applies today? We do, most certainly. Everything we do at Durban North Baptist Church, everything is always and will always be firmly grounded upon those four principles. God's Word, fellowship, the breaking of bread, and prayer. Come rain, wind, or sunshine, over our dead bodies, will that ever change? And you can hold on to that for the rest of your life. So let's unpack those four things together and help us understand what that really means for us in 2017. How John and I will always hold firm to these four things. So the first thing that they devoted themselves to was solid biblical teaching. For them, the new believers in Acts chapter 2, the apostles' teaching was the central thing of all they studied and discussed. They even relied on the eyewitness account of what Jesus had done through the apostles' teaching. And the Holy Spirit reminded the apostles of the crucial truths taught by Christ. Their teachings, the apostles' teachings, would then in turn become the teachings that we follow, the teachings that direct the church and lead the church even to this day for new and old Christians for centuries to come. Friends, from the very beginning of the early church, they were devoted to the hearing, the studying, and applying of God's Word to their daily lives because it gave them the doctrinal foundation they needed in order to love others like Jesus at all times. And we believe that if we had to be the church God has called us to be and love others like Jesus, the only way they managed to do so and the only way we could ever succeed in doing so was if we devoted ourselves to God's Word and the teaching of it like the early church. God's Word must remain and always will be the very central part of who we are and what we teach at Durban North Baptist Church. In order for us to remain faithful to God's command that we should love our neighbors as we love ourselves. God's Word must be our plumb line. If you don't understand that, He must be our guide. God's Word must be our guide, because if we rely on our human understandings and application of love, we will always fail. Because at times we get tired. At times we are irritated or even not in the mood to love others like Jesus. And if we don't have something infallible to fall back on, when the going gets tough, we will simply give up. Because at times in our lives, we are even completely devoted to following God's Word and His teachings. But at times in our lives, we go astray. We completely misinterpret the text, and that's when the second principle becomes absolutely crucial. You can read your Bible and pray every day, but if we don't do it in fellowship with other Christians, we are sitting ducks. And so, friends, the second principle in our text tonight is fellowship. It isn't just hanging around with your friends or going out for dinner with family, or even to the movies. No, it's much deeper than that. It means close fellowship. This is more than just getting together, certainly more than just coming to youth or church or even a Bible study. This kind of fellowship that they were talking about in Acts chapter 2 included the studying of God's Word, but also involved in the sharing of goods, having meals together and praying together. It involved sharing life together beyond these four walls in such a meaningful way that no person ever lived in need. You might go, wow, but that's a bit strange. Let's just unpack that together a little, the context of that fellowship together. We must remember that in this case, in Acts chapter 2, thousands of Jews had just traveled to Jerusalem for the Passover. And by the preaching of God's Word, they were converted to Christianity. And now kind of stuck around, some of them until Pentecost, but most of them stayed there a little longer to grow and learn about this newfound faith. And so for the Christians, the new Christians in Jerusalem, it was quite crucial to have fellowship with somebody else. And for those who actually stayed in Jerusalem, they took it upon themselves to bring those who have just converted to Christianity into the family of God, to treat them like brothers and sisters of their own family. Because these guys have just traveled hundreds of kilometers. They were just there for Passover. Now they've committed their lives to the Lord. Now they're learning. They've got to eat. They've got to live somewhere. So the apostles and the new Christians thought, hey, this is important. These guys need to know and learn more about God's word. So it's our responsibility to look after them for as long as God needs us to. Let's bring that back into our own families a little, if that's still a bit vague concept for you. In your own family, if anybody in your own family is hungry, what would you do? You'd feed them. All the moms go, feed them. The dad's like, go make your own food. Hey? Yeah. Or they're thirsty, you would give them something to drink. Or they're in need of education. You as a family would do all you possibly can to make sure that they get the education they need, they get something to drink, even if it's a glass of water and a slice of bread. But you would care for them deeply. Now these guys in Jerusalem did the same thing. They were like, hey, you're a new Christian. In Christ, you are my brother, you're my sister. You're hungry, I will feed you. You are cold, I will clothe you. You need somewhere to stay, I will give you a place to stay. God's family, the church, works at its best when its members work together to meet each other's needs in that respective community. And here I would like to commend you, Durban North Baptist Church, for really getting this one right. Very often do we share in fellowship to that extent where there's a need and we could meet it. Let us never let us never lose sight of this very important biblical principle. Yes, the Word of God is central to all that we do, but we've got to take care of each other. And so every time we meet together at the church or at someone's home, may we do so with the same level of commitment and intent as the early church, and fellowship together to the extent where we are able and willing to try and cater for each other's needs. But for some of us, we find this quite difficult. And it could be even be in this room tonight, that if I had to ask you to share a meal with someone, you would find that difficult because there's a personal issue that you've got to deal with. Hopefully the third principle will help us get over that hurdle, maybe one step at a time. The breaking of bread in the text tonight refers to the Lord's Supper, communion services, just like we often celebrate at the service, remembrance of Jesus. And we also try and do it in a similar way as Jesus did with his disciples just before he gave his life for us. And friends, if you're taking notes, I really like this communion analogy and illustration. Communion is a special time in our lives where we come in union. Communion is a special time in our lives where we come in union with Christ and one another. And it's during communion that we are firstly reminded of the wonderful gift of salvation given to us through Christ. And that He forgives our sins, and His body symbolizes that for us, and His blood symbolizes the forgiveness of our sins. If we struggle to have fellowship with somebody in the church, in our fellowship, I have found that it makes it a lot easier for me to forgive someone when I'm passing them the forgiveness that I have received. When I pass the bread that symbolizes the forgiveness that I have received to the person who either I have wronged or they have wronged me, it makes it a lot easier for me to forgive and love that person like Jesus when I hand him the forgiveness that reminds me, or the symbol that reminds me of the forgiveness that I have received. And so friends, at times when we struggle to do that, maybe we need to have communion together. And so maybe that's the challenge for you tonight, out of this text, out of these principles. If you want to love others like Jesus and you struggle to do that, maybe go have communion with the person you're struggling with. Because when Jesus is at the center of that meal, He conquers all things, even hurt, even pain, even unforgiveness. And I really hope that we get the life-changing principle of communion. It's twofold. It reminds us of the immense forgiveness granted to us, given to us freely. And it reminds us to come in union with others and with Christ. And so the next time you share communion, may you do that in a similar way. Then there's the one last principle that we need to tackle tonight from this text, and it is prayer. The early church was completely devoted to the apostles' teaching, to incredible fellowship, to the miracle of communion, but they knew then that it would all be completely in vain if they did it without prayer, without seeking God's will and guidance in all they would endeavor. Prayer is how they remained in touch with the power of the Almighty God and how they kept going and kept doing church in this incredible way. These new Christians knew then that if they didn't pray, the apostles' teaching would most probably just fall on deaf ears. Because only the original author, God, can ensure that whatever they teach, whatever we teach, is a true reflection of what God wanted to say. And that's why we pray before and after every single service. And we will continue to do that until the Lord comes again. They knew then that without prayer, the apostles' teaching would fall on deaf ears. They also knew then that if they didn't pray, their fellowship would also be just having a meal together, just eating breakfast with a friend. But when we fellowship together, when we share in our belongings and care for each other's needs, and Jesus is at the center of it all, things might just become a little easier because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And the same thing with communion. If we do not pray around the communion table, we're just eating bread and drinking grape juice. We need to ask Jesus to be present in that moment so that we can be in union with one another, so that we can forgive and be reminded of the wonderful gift of forgiveness. Friends, if we do not ask, we will not receive. That's pretty normal, isn't it? If someone asks you for a glass of water, you would generally give it to them. The same principle applies when we ask of God. If we do not ask God to intervene in our country in this time right now, how many of you prayed on Friday? Hey, we've been praying since all of this mess is happening. We've got to pray for our country, for our community, for our church. Prayer was a central principle of the early church. Please help us to make sure that it remains one of the central principles of this church until the Lord comes again. Because if we don't ask God to intervene here, if we don't ask God to be present here, we're simply just gathering. We need the presence of God. And then, friends, if we follow these four very basic principles, we hold on to the Word of God, we spend time together, meaningful time together, so much so that we are willing to care for and cater for each other's needs. We have communion in the most meaningful ways, and we pray together. Then maybe, just maybe, in our generation, God will add 3,000 people to His church. I would hope it's this church, but it's all up to God. And we could see that kind of miracle where 3,000 people, not just Zach tonight, 3,000 people go, yes, I want to follow Jesus. I want to hold on to His Word. I want that kind of fellowship together. I want to be able to share communion with someone that's really hurt me. And I want to ask God to be part of our lives until He comes again. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, thank You so much for Your Word and for this model of the early church, and that it is still so relevant today. And we just pray, God, especially tonight, we ask that you would hold us accountable. Oh Lord, make sure that we always hold on to your word in all that we do. That your word is our plumb line and our guide. That your word will teach us and help us to love others like Jesus. To that extent that when we fellowship together, Lord, and we ask for you to be present in that fellowship, that we are willing and able to go as far as meeting each other's needs, as we do in our natural families as well. And then we pray this evening and we ask that whenever we share communion, that you would remind us of the forgiveness that you have offered each and every single one of us. And that as we share in that meal together, in union with you, Lord Jesus, that you would enable us to share in the forgiveness and offer forgiveness to other people and even ask for forgiveness for our own sins when we've hurt others. And then, Lord, help us to hold on to the principle of prayer until we see you and meet you face to face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.